ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am your host. Excited to be here, as always. Looking forward to a tremendous show today. I'm excited to have Shelly Enteam back with us, master astrologer and herbologist and teacher. She's going to be talking us through another level of the retrograde season that we are in. Excitedly enough, and this doesn't happen very often, but yesterday, I think it was yesterday or Monday, our previous podcast together on retrogrades released as a podcast. So you can check that out on all the major podcast platforms on Apple, on Spotify, on Audible. Now we're on iHeartRadio as well. So check that out. It was a great show. And this is a continuation of sorts in bringing Uranus into this equation, as these outer planets are now kind of all in their retrograde season. And one of the things we talked about, Shelly and I, as we were talking about this, and the title of the program is the internalization of the external. These outer planets having this powerful impact, these waves of energy that are just bringing to light all of the challenges that we confront because of the choices that we've made as individuals, as culture, as society, as a world, as a species. All of these things are kind of being brought to the surface now. And one of the questions that comes out of this that I think is really significant that we're going to dive into a little bit is what is freedom? You know, Uranus is pinging all of that and people raising and screaming about their freedoms and their freedoms and their freedoms. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about freedoms in the mind, in the world of divide and conquer. We've talked about the divisiveness. I just did a recent show on divisiveness. And isn't it interesting how all of these kind of polar opposites and extremes are currently in entanglement, and we're trying to sift and sort them out. So looking forward to this conversation. It's going to be a good one. Thank you again for being here. We're going to go to a quick break, and we're going to have Shelly out here in just a minute. So we will be right back. Right, guys, just a quick moment on Fears of Choice here. Fears of Choice book, my book, it's going to be out a year at the end of September. I'm so excited about that. Book is doing well. I can't thank you all enough for the support and for the impact that it's creating. I'm getting lots of great reviews and lots of great feedback about the impact of the book and how it's helping people to change their relationship with fear, which is what the book is about. It's what my platform is about. It's what this show is about. It's what my programs are about. It's all about changing your relationship with fear, learning how to deal with all of that. And as we talk about these things today, how freedom is, our ideas of freedom are laced in fear, and how the divisiveness is driven by fear. All of these things are things that we can overcome, but not only overcome, but we can move so far beyond. And that's what I think all of these energies and these influences astrologically give us the opportunity to do. Fearsachoicebook.com, where you can go to order the book. The links are there to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and IndieBound and Audible. Check it out. If you've ordered the book and have not had a chance to review, I ask you please to do that. Leave a review wherever you ordered the book. It so helps me to get the book up in ranking, but also for more people to be exposed to it. So thank you for that. And I look forward to hearing from you about the book, and I look forward to whatever feedback you have. So www.fearsachoicebook.com, check it out. And we'll be right back. As soon as I find buttons, I can't see, so I'm having a hard time. But you know, even with that, my world is good, people. How's your world going? My world is good. This, to me, the year of conscious creation, this is important stuff. I keep building this. I've been doing this for the entire year. My world is good is plain and simple. It's a way for us to come together in an energy that could create powerful change in the world. My world is good helps to focus our energy within the context of our own individual worlds. Remember, we are 7.5 to 8 billion unique sparks of the divine on this planet at the same time, individual worlds inhabiting the same planet. And that's a significant thing to me. And why I say that is because there is no one who can live your life for you. There is no one who can make choices in your life for you. No one can change your life for you without you, your engagement. And I know people say, yeah, but what about these unforeseen circumstances and these incidents? I understand the confusion that that can create, but at the same time, recognize that you need to own it. When you own those changes, you can affect those changes. So it's not about making anybody bad and wrong. It's not about making anybody's choices wrong or better than or less than. This is about choosing an energy, consciously choosing an energy. My world is good, that we can all focus into, that we can all bring an awareness to. And as each of us builds that energy within the context of our world, we begin to blend our worlds in that common energy. And that energy begins to have an impact on the mass consciousness. It begins to create a tipping point for us to create change. And I think as you look out into the world, you can see that there is a great push for that change. And as these retrograde energies are affecting us, as we are screaming for freedom, as we are experiencing divisiveness, as we are dealing with all of the unfolding that's happening in the world, my world is good brings a focus to it for our individual worlds so that we don't bring all of that negative energy into our space because we don't need it. It's a drama that's happening outside. If you choose to go there, if you choose to participate, then that is part of your perceptive process. What does that mean? It means that these are things inside of you you are trying to resolve. So your attraction to them in your perception is you speaking to you. So keep it here. Keep it to yourself. Keep it internally available so that you can process, that you can move through it, that you can begin to expand within the context of your world. My world is good. And let that be the driver of the choices and the inspiration that you encounter in your world. My world is good is simple. 10 times when you wake in the morning, 10 times at the end of your day, and use it throughout the day whenever you're feeling yourself wobbly in your alignment. It's a powerful tool that's very effective. My world is good, and it doesn't take anything. The other thing that you can do with this that's so powerful is to appreciate while you're doing it. So when I do my hikes in the morning, as I go through and my world is good, I'm looking around my world and I'm taking snapshots with my eye, taking snapshots of my happy dog, snapshots of the gorgeous landscape, snapshots of a beautiful sky with clouds, snapshots of vistas, snapshots in my mind of my world is good, and reinforcing the appreciation in my world that helps to continue to expand that. So the only requirement of you for this movement, guys, is your energy, your focus, and your intention. That's all I want. And I'd love to hear your stories about how powerfully it's affecting you, how powerfully you are engaged in the process, and what you're noticing. I see change every day. I experience that unbelievable, unbridled beauty every day. And I continue to do it because it continues to help me to stay focused. Now, don't I get pulled? Do I get pulled by the news and the things that are happening? Absolutely, I do. But as soon as I feel my alignment begin to shift, I shift it back. My world is good. I disconnect from the negative energy, from the energies that don't support my world is good. It doesn't mean I'm not attending to my world. It means that I'm putting my focus where I want it to be, because I am a conscious creator and so are you. Join us on the movement. We would love to have you, and we'll be right back, and we're going to bring Shelly on board. It's going to be a great show. We'll see you in just a minute here. Whoops. Boom, boom. We'll see you in just a second. All right, all right, all right. I am happy to welcome back to the show, Miss Shelly Entine. There she is. I'm telling you, I got to stop talking about my buttons, but the buttons crack me up because it's just, it's never ending. Pretending to see and can't see and all that good stuff.
Yes.
Hi.
You can't wear your glasses when you have light coming at you.
I know. Well, and I got these glasses because they were supposed to be glare proof. But there, so they glasses. They do blue block, but they don't glare proof. Right. You know.
What are you going to do?
I know.
That was a great talk. That was a great pep talk. I loved it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So here we are today. I'm excited about this topic because I always love having these conversations with you and really helping me and everybody out there really get a grasp and a grip on these influences that are so painfully obvious. You know what I mean? And yet we're all kind of pulling our hair out and it's like, you know, if we could literally focus into the reality of the energy of what's happening, we would spend less time on the story of what's happening. And so I'm excited about that. So let's jump off. Let's dive in. I know we talked about the idea of freedom and this external, the internalization of the external really intrigues me. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little about that.
So I think when you're honest retrogrades, you are reviewing, for one thing, a lot of the changes that have been going on since January, the last time it went into direct. Okay. Uranus moves very slowly, and it's been on the same degree, 14 degrees, for a very long time. So if you happen to have that an aspect in your chart, you've been really getting the provocation to look at something. As you said, if you're getting really, you know, plugged into things, you probably are having an aspect also with Uranus. But going internal, you can also begin to explore the concepts, again, of what Uranus symbolizes. And we were talking earlier, and I said that Uranus is the planet of freedom and eccentric individuality, but we also have it ruling Aquarius, which is the sign of the group. So it's kind of like that spiritual teaching that you're like the drop in the ocean. So is freedom something that makes you not have to consider the ocean?
Interesting.
So what is freedom? You know, if you have a little child and it's drawing on the walls, is it freedom and they should be, you know, encouraged? Or should they find out what the group dynamic also is requiring? Then there's also the incredible thing about Uranus is it's the planet of intuition. Aquarius is the sign of intuition, which is union with divine mind or the higher mind.
Okay.
So in the retrograde, this is the time to really start moving into your connection. What you were talking about, the pep talk of like, where do you want to focus? Mm-hmm. What messages do you want to receive?
What do you want to internalize? Yes. What so, out there do you want in here? And what we're seeing, I think, interestingly enough, is how much of what's out there that doesn't belong in here.
And specifically in there, Taurus is the body and all of manifestation. So your thoughts and your what you're bringing in is affecting the energetic of the body.
Powerful stuff. Right. Powerful stuff. Yep. And it's extraordinary. I'm still kind of back on the imagery of a little bit ago where you were talking about the one versus the many. And the thing that struck me about that too is there isn't, it seems like it's also true in reverse, meaning when just because everybody's saying something doesn't make it so. Just because a lot of people are believing something doesn't make it so. The internalization of truth is what's ultimately important, not the internalization of the internalization of the drama, the internalization of the story, the internalization of the emotionality of what you're experiencing outside of yourself isn't necessarily healthy. And it isn't serving, because one of the things our health system doesn't acknowledge is that impact. When we internalize external stuff, that's how disease starts. That's how cells break down. That's how systems in the body start to stop functioning, because we're no longer in alignment with this and this. We're aligned with a bunch of illusion and story and nonsense that doesn't serve anything. How is that freedom? You know?
Exactly. The group has a responsibility to the individuals also.
Yeah.
And also what's interesting is that it's the opposite. Uranus is the opposite, Aquarius, to the drama sign, which is Leo.
I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry.
I said that.
It would be a dramatic response.
I need to reach for my fan. Excuse me.
But it's the creative energy and it's fire, you know. So yes. It is, you know, it wants to be heard and everything. So the idea, what you said, is like getting detachment is a quality of Aquarius. Observe. Mm-hmm. Detach, observe. And that's one of the things you've been talking about.
Yeah.
So important. So this is all happening.
So good. This is a great foundation. I think that we can take a quick sec here to go into a moment of focus. I'll be right back with you in just a few. Okay. I'll be right back. All right, guys, this is the time of the show. Once we've teased out the topic, I like to take a moment to focus, to bring us all of our energies together in a way that helps us to impact this entire conversation. I really believe very strongly in where two or more are gathered, the amount of energy that we bring together that can create powerful change in our world and in our own personal lives. And so what I'd like to do is just get you to start breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. And I want to start to bring awareness into your own field, into your own energy, so that as you engage with us, as you engage in your day, in your life, that you're coming from a place of alignment from within the center of you, connected to the highest part of you, and that guides your steps, that inspires your doingness in the world, because you've cultivated your beingness. You are now inspired through that beingness to doingness. And out of your doingness, then you create your havingness, the things that you create in your world. So breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to just begin to settle into your body in the moment of where you are right now. You can let your eyes close a little as you focus into the interior and bring your awareness just right into the center of your heart space, right here, kind of 45 degrees from your nipples, this heart area, if you're not familiar with it. Just gently touch, take your middle fingers and just gently feel in. You'll feel there's a little divot there, sort of on the breastbone, which is sort of the point of the heart. And just gently touch that. Bring your awareness there again as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. One of the things that I think is very important to managing energy is learning how to manage breath. And that's what this moment is about, is focusing into the breath and focusing into the interior so that we can get into that alignment and get into that space. And breath being life force, being chi, being prana, being the essence of energy that we take into our bodies to keep them animated, to keep them alive, to keep them engaged in this physical reality. So breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, we continue to settle into that experience focused into the heart. And as you are focused and your eyes are closed, I want you to become aware of your field as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. Become aware of the field. The field is the energy, is the you that is beyond the physical confines of this body. It is the energy of you that is expressed all around you. It is what you engage the world with. It's in what you engage the universe with. It's what you engage everything with. And if you become aware, as you become aware of it, and how you become aware of it is highly personal. Some feel it, some see it, some experience it, some have different imagery of it. Just let it be what it is. There is no right or wrong way to experience your energy. It informs you the way it does because of your natural makeup, because of your gifts and talents, because of your abilities. So feel your way into your energetic space and just be aware of the field and how big it is, how enormous your field is. And also become aware, become conscious of the places in your field where you might notice some dense energy. You might notice some clusters, or it shows up different for everybody. Sometimes it's pictures, sometimes it's blocks, sometimes it's a black cloud, sometimes it's just a chunk of something. But just become aware of that, because why this is important is we all encounter things throughout our life every day, and those things stimulate things in our vibration, things, old things, history, things that we've been carrying, trying to work through. But those things get stimulated, and then when they stimulate our field, if we don't attend to them, they kind of condense in the energy and they hang out there unattended. And the reason that I bring your attention to those is because everywhere you have those, your energy, your core vibration is being consumed by those things, which leaves less energy available to you through this physical body to create the things that you want to create. So we want to lose the attachment to these things. And what we're going to do now as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth is I want you to consciously pull your field into your heart space. Just imagine it, see it happening, leave all of the debris, leave all of the pockets of things, leave that out there. If it's meant to be dealt with, it'll be there when you come back. Otherwise, let it go. Surrender it now and let it be. Don't give it another thought. As you bring the incredible energy of you into your heart space, and as you do, feel this warmth and this tingling experience that's resonating through your entire body. And breathe it in as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, feeling that powerfully. And continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And we are going to focus that breath now. We're going to do a counted breath process. We're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to hold that breath. We're going to rest in the fullness. And then we're going to surrender and release all of that breath and energy and let it go completely. And then at the bottom, in the emptiness, in the anticipation of the next moment, we rest before we re-engage to bring in new life, new energy, and new breath. And so we'll continue that cycle as you continue to just be with your energy, be with your being, let yourself explore the inside of you. And let's begin the breath process now with an inhale. We're going to inhale in through the nose, two, three, feeling completely four, full, and then resting at the top, relaxing the neck and the shoulders, relaxing the body, feeling that fullness, and then consciously choosing to release. Two, three, four, five, six, and then we rest at the bottom in emptiness, in void, being comfortable in not know for just this moment, and then consciously choosing to engage the lungs again as we inhale. Two, three, four, and we're holding that breath. We're resting in the fullness, feeling the richness of all that beautiful energy moving through every cell of my body, and then releasing and surrendering it in this moment. Two, three, four, five, six, using that to purge all the way down, purging those lungs completely as you rest in the void, as you rest in that space of anticipation, ready for the next moment. And then you engage and inhale. Two, three, four. The fullness is rich and amazing, and you rest in it and rest in it and relax in it. And then you consciously choose to surrender it. Two, three, four, five, six, and then resting in that emptiness, resting in that void, in that space of allowing, everything is possible. And then you engage the breath and continue the breath cycle on your own for a minute. As you continue to engage that breath, feel the lungs, feel the body expand 360 degrees as you reach for more air every single time, more energy every single time. And as you rest at the top in that fullness, be in appreciation of all of that amazing energy that you carry, all of the amazing life force that is filling you, and then choosing to surrender it in this moment as you release it, letting the breath go, letting all of the old energy, all of the old energy out, releasing it back out to be purified and cleansed so that you can take a new breath of brand new energy to revitalize, to strengthen, and to empower this physical body. And remember that as you purge, the reason you're purging to a count of six is we want to get all of that old stale air and energy out of the deepest parts of the lungs so that when you call on more energy, it's filled with new life and new energy and new inspiration and new ideas and new everything. New energy. You are a powerful being, an incredibly powerful being. And as you continue to breathe into that force, as you continue to cycle through, you are in the process of creation as we speak. You are in the process of consciously choosing in this moment to move your energy, to shift your energy, to expand your energy. And as you continue this, I want you to take these words and just let them wash over you. If they resonate, wonderful. If they don't, let them go by. But just a point of focus as you are in this space of creation. I surrender to my potential. I surrender to my abundance. I surrender to my love. Feel that deeply. Feel the power of the surrender. And the idea that you don't have to fight for what is yours. You surrender to who you are. I surrender to my potential. I surrender to my abundance. I surrender to my love. Feel how everything lifts as you feel that energy. Speak it to yourself if it serves you. Feel the lift. I surrender to my potential. I surrender to my abundance. I surrender to my love. And as you feel that last piece, all that energy that you have coalescing in your heart, let it expand now. As you continue to breathe, watch it as it moves back out into the world, cleansed and purified through your breath, through the process of your conscious creation. Feel and experience the magnificence of you. As you watch that field continue to expand and continue to expand and continue to expand, you are limitless. You are only limited by your thoughts, ideas, and concepts and beliefs. When you move your breath, when you manage your breath, you are managing energy at the highest level. Let that guide you. Let that bring you to your inspiration, to your beingness, and then to your creation. Thank you for that. And with that, let your breath cycle continue as we come back into the conversation with Shelley. We're going to carry on with this powerful conversation about Uranus retrograde. Welcome back. Hi.
That was great. And while I was breathing, I wanted to mention that, we just had our second full moon in Aquarius. And when you have two full moons in a sign, this is much more significant than having them in a calendar month in different signs, because you're getting two opportunities to examine the polarity. And we just touched on it. And something that needs to be said that I didn't say, I think, is the polarity between any two signs is supposed to find meeting in the middle. That's the resolution of opposition is coming to the center point.
I love balance. That.
So it isn't wrong to be either. you know, in your Leo self or your Aquarian self. It's when and where and how much of each, and, you know, how to apply those principles so that you're in balance. So, because, you know, being too distant and too detached is also not a great, you know, way to get around the world. You know?
Yes. And beautifully said, because I think it speaks to understanding that it's important. The polarity is important because it helps. Like for me, the Aquarian Leo deal is significant because it can be very easy to become so detached that you don't engage in a way that actually creates good and positive change for you or for the world, because change in the world is because it's coming through you. It's coming through the individuals. And I know in my own life that I have to be mindful that I don't let that observer detach me from engagement. And it's a powerful thing because it really helps keep me honest. Because then I can say, you know, am I dealing with my stuff? Am I dealing with the problems, or am I detaching from them so I don't have to deal with them? Mm-hmm. As opposed to, yes, I'm trying to deal with my problems and I'm having difficulty in perspective. Let me allow the Aquarian energy to bring me to the view of 50,000 feet so I can look at this from a whole different perspective. And then take my fire and go, oh, there's where my focus needs to be.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I can use my energy to go there.
Right, because Leo is a sign of creation.
Yes.
That's, you know, it's ruled by the sun. So, you know, again, you can go up with your intuitive also.
Yeah.
Connect and try to, you know, do these. In the breath is a great way to inspire yourself to also touch up higher in what you're thinking
every time.
and intuition is can be extremely helpful in life. Instead of, okay, here's another concept. Taurus is necessary because it's persistence. You know, if we have manifestation, we like it to persist. So I'm still sitting on the chair.
Yeah, right.
This is a good thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, what one of the things we have in persistence, though, is we develop habits. And so habits are good because you don't have to relearn everything every day. But then again, there are some other habits that maybe we need to shift.
Yes.
You know, like an attachment to being frightened by everything, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us have been in, you know, a large number of us out there have been in that attachment to the stimulation that's fear.
Very good point.
Adrenal stimulants, you know.
Absolutely. Well, because we're so not dialed into our own experience, we have no energy. So in order to have energy, we have to create it. In order to create it, the best way to manufacture fake energy is rage, is anger, is the illusion of I have energy to fight against something.
Right. And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this yesterday is this idea of as we think about things like the vaccine and things happening in Afghanistan, all the stuff that's going on. And I thought to myself as I was on my walk, I was feeling a little conflicted, and then I realized, wait a second, I'm not fighting against anything. I'm not fighting anything. I have my what feels good and right for me based on the time that I've spent, you know, kind of unfolding that for myself. But that choice and that place that I'm at has nothing to do with fighting you or you or you. It's just my truth, and you have yours. And I honor yours, and I trust that you honor mine. And I think one of the challenges that we're facing with this is that very thing is being put to question. Mm-hmm. That very concept is being is the divisive wedge is being pushed into that and saying, yes, no. You're even with regard to this COVID-19 thing, that natural immunity is not even acknowledged. You know that if you've had it, and you have natural immunity, nobody cares. Take the vaccine anyway. If you have natural immunity, your body's thing doesn't matter. What matters is taking this little thing here, because that's what's going to protect you. And again, there is not right. There is not wrong. There is choices. And if a choice feels good to you, then that's the choice you should be making, because that's where your vibration is right now.
And a good point on that, very good point on that, is if you are able to tune into the intuitive, like let's say, you know, you have a habit of going to a store a certain day every week, right? And if you were in an intuitive mode, you would be thinking along the lines of, how does it feel today? Should I be going today? And if you get a no, you should be able to change your habit, because maybe there's a reason that it's better for you not to be there. Yeah. And even in terms of COVID, you know, your intuitive level could also be leading you to not be where there could be a problem for you.
Exactly.
If you're open to that, but we do have those, that Taurus persistent habit, you know, and and that's actually, Taurus is a sign that squares Aquarius and Leo.
So it's disrupting all of our habits.
So there's challenge, yes. And so when everything
from kids going to school, from kid, you know, from where am I working from do I go out, don't I go out, do I go to, yeah, it's amazing.
So the challenge is there, but again, the challenge of a square is also resolution somehow. So the Uranian energy internalized is a good time to start, you know, turn the light bulb. I mean, this is part of the electrical energy of Aquarius, is Eureka. You know, turn the light bulb on and see, take a look at your habits and how attached are you to those?
Yeah.
And what is possible to change? Are you attached to watching the news every day?
And this is so, so, so incredible, because this speaks to the core of freedom. This speaks to the essence of the concept of freedom, because those things that you are locked into are why you don't feel free. Those things that you believe you have to do, you know, like you said, or if you're watching the news every day, or just whatever habits you have. Mm-hmm. And we seem to be being disrupted from every direction to say, hey, stop paying attention to all that nonsense. Pay attention to your energy. That's what needs to be dealt with. That's what needs attention right now. Your energy needs attention so that you can attend to someone else or potentially attend to others. But that happens as a natural result of attending to yourself. Right. What we seem to fail to realize is that ignoring this for that is never a good idea and doesn't serve anyone or anything. It's just one more illusion in the number, you know, in the illusion of illusions. Mm-hmm. So I just find that extraordinary. And as we talked about it, you know, that we talked just briefly about the freedom thing, it's remarkable. The more you drill down and peel the layers and you go, it's all free. It's all, how have we restricted ourselves and how can we change that? How are we dumbing down our experience and how can we change that? You know, and I love
individually.
That. Yes.
And then also, you know, looking at the group and, you know, the fact that action has consequence.
Yes.
You know, if you go towards freedom, like I'm free to do whatever I want, you know, why do you stop at a red light? You know, I mean, this actions have consequences, and you could examine that also.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter to you. That's why I used the example of the child writing on the wall, because, you know, is it the greatest degree of love for the child to let it manifest that and then go to a friend's house and do it and then never be invited back?
Right. You know, and that's really a very small example, but a powerful one, because
It keeps it more simple.
Yes.
You know, we can follow that without, you know, we can all understand that. But some people would want to give their child complete freedom.
Yes. And I've met those people, some of them.
And you've met the children.
Yeah. And I've also seen what happens a few years down the road when they haven't had a boundary, when they haven't had, you know, I'm not talking about caging them, you know, that it's just simply, I think as parents, the role is to set the boundary.
Yes.
So that the playpen is big enough for the child to explore in a way that's healthy, in a way that's beneficial. And the child is always going to try to push past that. And the cool thing is that once they have the skill, then they can push past, and then we have to get big enough to expand the boundary. But you got to give them the skills.
You got to
nurture that.
That's why Saturn is in Aquarius right now.
Yes. And I was going to step back to that for just a second. I wanted to take, I'm going to take a quick break. And on the other side, I would like to do a quick review, just a couple minute review of the retrograde so that we can see them in context to each other. Mm. Because the Uranus energy is powerful and important, but Neptune's got it going on. Jupiter's got it going on. And I'm thinking just a couple of sentences of here's this influence, here's this influence, and here's this one. So we can see it in a grander picture, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
Perfect. So when we come back from the break, Shell, we're going to do give you a couple of minutes to talk to the folks about what you're offering these days and what they can do to be in touch with you. And we shall be right back.
Okay.
Again, once I find my thing. Here it is.
The Science of Transformation Method. And I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. Guys, www.thesciencetransformation.com. I want to work with you. I've had tremendous success over the years with my clients and helping them to transform their relationship with fear, but not only transforming the relationship, but then allowing that to catapult them into stratosphere of their life experience and creating the life that they want, the life of their dreams, the life of the essence of who they are. And that starts by dealing with your relationship with fear, because once you understand how that relationship impacts you, it changes everything, literally, literally. www.thesciencetransformation.com. Check it out. Lots of information there, testimonials, ways to reach me. Happy to set up a free consultation with you to find out if this work is up your alley and if it's something that you feel like you could benefit from, because I think it's very powerful. And then also to experience a couple sessions. I have an introductory package, and I'd love to talk to you about that as well. So check it out. And now we are going to bring Shelly back on. Shelly's going to talk to us about her amazing work, which she has amazing work with her astrology. I've gotten to have some readings with her, and she's just awesome. And if you like her on the show, you'll love her even better when she can focus into your world and start to peel back the layers of your experience. So Shelly, it's all yours. I'm going to disappear here for a minute, and then we'll see you on the other side.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Well, I mean, I think it's interesting that he was just talking about fear. And when I first started doing astrology back in the 1970s, people were very frightened. You know, they would come for a reading and they would be in fear of what they were going to hear. And I think one of the great things about, well, not everybody does it the same way, but one of the great things about getting a reading is that it can actually alleviate fear. Because you can find out like what's going on with you, what's the purpose of what's going on, what's the direction. And a lot of people can get validation, and most people feel better after they speak to me. Also, I have some tools that I offer with readings. One of them is Bach Flower Remedies, which is energy medicine, very Aquarian and Uranian, just like astrology is. And that can help you deal with certain habits of thought that could be impacting you also. and sometimes essential oils, because I have that as well as a registered aromatherapist. So it can be very helpful. I also know people like Jim Case to send people to if they could benefit from a kind of ongoing work. And so if you want to have a reading, this is a great time to have one, because you're in the retrograde cycle, so you're internalized with many things, and we have the new year ahead, and it would be good to know. You know, you can start looking out now and seeing what it's going to look like for you, and then you can plan your time wisely. That's why I do a weekly podcast called the Weekly Astrology Forecast, and that you can get through my blog right now. One of these days, I'm going out on these podcast platforms too. But right now, if you go to my website, shellyantine.com, and you sign up for the blog, you subscribe, and then you get it in your email and you can listen to it. And I had sometimes posted, and I did for this last second Aquarius full moon, a specific podcast on something like that, or Uranus retrograde or whatever. So it's a tool for you to have. So you have information. Information always helps us, and we stop feeling as uncertain. And so that's really what's going on, Jim, if you want to come back.
And come back. I absolutely love it. And I want to reiterate one piece of that. So www.shellyantine.com, that's where you can sign up for that blog, where you can request an appointment and set up that stuff with her. But I want to reinforce something that I think is profound, and that is having a reading validates you. And the reason it validates you is because it shows you that everything you've been doing is right in line with the energies that are there to support you. And so even if it's been challenging, even if it's been uncomfortable, mm-hmm. having somebody feed back to you that what, because this isn't a dialogue. This is she, I mean, it does become a dialogue, but the report itself is generated based on that information. So here you are, here I am sitting and wondering what this is about. And then getting this reading that's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I've been on the right track the whole time. Oh, that's what that situation was. Oh, and suddenly the dots start to connect and you start to see the perfection in your experience because it's all related. Mm-hmm. It's all of these pieces and parts are all part of the greater whole. And mm-hmm. so getting that form of validation to me is profound and so helpful on the path, because it's not the kind of thing to me where I'm going to use astrology to predict anything for me. I will use it to understand my energetic intention or my energetic mm-hmm. focus or where the potential is for me. But that's what it's all about, because then I can start to go, ah, you remember last time when you attempted to go this direction, it didn't serve you very well. And mm-hmm. and this energy in your chart is saying, focus in this direction, because it's going to push you. It's going to bring you out of yourself a little bit more. And while that may be uncomfortable, the other side of that threshold is great expansion and growth.
Right.
So anyway, I didn't want to take too much time.
Perfect.
But I wanted to
thank you. That's really it.
So I had a great experience with it. So, all right, we're going to jump back in here. We got about 6 or 7 minutes. So I want to take a second just to, if you don't mind, do that quick retrograde review.
Yeah, let's do it. It's interesting.
So let's start with who's first.
Who's Jupiter? Okay, well, Jupiter in terms of, you know, who's furthest from the sun, closest is Jupiter. And Jupiter is retrograded back into Aquarius now too, you know. So this is the planet that expands, and it's philosophical. But also an interesting piece about Jupiter and the sign of Sagittarius is natural laws.
Mm.
You know, so we have, you know, certain laws we can decide to break, but if you break natural laws,
then we got problems.
We're seeing a lot of what happens when you do that.
Yep.
So we're expanding our consciousness, which is Aquarian energy, is to be able to have that insight with this Jupiter expansion coming back in, I was so happy to see it come back. Because now, again, in the time of the internalized Jupiter, mm-hmm. you can start looking at, you know, like, well, how much has my perspective consciousness changed? You know, have I actually been able to see things differently or mm-hmm. things in a better way? Have I used my positive visioning and gotten a result? You know, and if you find out that there are places, you know, people talk about spreading light. Sometimes light is turning the light on to illuminate a place that's dark.
Yeah.
And so this Jupiter will do this and do it in a very loving way. You know, it's not, it isn't a taskmaster. Saturn, right. That comes next.
Saturn, yes.
Saturn is the one that says, okay, these are the consequences, you know, or these are the limitations, or these are where you're not noticing something important. Maybe it's timing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another thing. And that's another thing astrology shows you is timing, like literally timing.
But does Saturn give you a little bit of the freedom issue too, right? It stimulates some of that because it's the playpen. So it's like,
yes.
What do you mean I can only operate here?
Yes.
And then Uranus kicks it up even up to the next level. So
right.
It's interesting that theme still seems to be resonant through this retrograde.
So Uranus comes in and does all kinds of surprises and changes and I didn't think this was going to happen or this is, you know, and so that is also can be a result of what you've been seeding into. Like you talk about, you know, my world is good, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a phrase, I'm always in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And then you add to that and everything always turns out to be even better than I could have imagined.
Yeah.
Well, if you let that be true, then you're not putting any limits on the positive. Because your imagination might not let it go as big. Mm-hmm. So Uranus comes in and gives you some idea about, you know, also the intuitive level of what, where you need to shift those habits and those behaviors and what impact it's having in the physical body and the world. And then Neptune is in Pisces dancing with Pluto in Capricorn, I'm sorry. And that they have been having this relationship. They've been dancing.
Yes.
And when we go into the retrograde cycle, we're looking at how much our spiritual ability has also come into play. You know, are we connecting into spirituality at all, or are we just connecting into fear? You know, are we escaping? Yeah. And Pluto is transformation, you know, the science of it.
Isn't it interesting? As you're talking, the thing that strikes me is that it's all perfectly orchestrated to assess the experiment of humanness.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember there was the Saturn-Pluto conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
We're still, you know, this is the shift of the paradigm. And, you know, I have to tell you, somebody posted something. Mid-1500s was the last Saturn-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn. And that's what Pluto is now. And that's where they met again for us. That was the last one. Martin Luther, the Protestant Reformation. Wow. Henry Tudor breaks with the church in Rome. That wasn't over right away, but somebody posted something and I didn't know this, but there was a plague.
Oh.
Some sort of a plague. Martin Luther is talking about it in something that he posts. Yeah. I mean,
that was that too late for the bubonic plague or was that? I mean, it doesn't matter.
You know, I'd have to look that up. I just saw that this morning. Somebody posted this Martin Luther thing. And I was like, wow, same paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Mega consensus cultural shift. But now we're beyond just changing a religion like Catholicism to Protestantism.
Right. Yep.
We're trying to change our whole relationship to being human. Like you said, it's like, you know, what powers do we have that we're not using?
Many. Right. And misusing many others.
Yeah. And misusing, right, exactly. So that's why we've got these big boys all out there in those, you know, Pluto to Aquarius, then Aquarius with those two planets there, and then also Pisces.
Extraordinary time, you know, to be alive.
And, you know, and it's just, it really is a great classroom.
Yeah, it really is. And the more you dial into that, the more extraordinary you see it unfolding. It's just, mm-hmm. I find every day remarkable connections and alignments and understandings and clarity and things about things that I didn't see before because of the ability to step back for a moment and see the larger view. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Shel, we're on our last couple of minutes. That was incredible. Thank you for that, and we're going to end today with the retrograde toolkit, and we're going to focus it into Uranus because, unless there are others that are easy to deal with, but we've talked throughout the show of you know, about focusing into breath, about focusing into you know, meditative, getting meditative or getting help, looking for getting information. What can we offer, maybe one or two or three things that you might offer in addressing this retrograde for people, things they can do to help them assimilate this energy in a way that moves them forward?
Hmm. Well, I thought we just did that. I mean, we did that. I think that also really spending time, when you do the breath and everything, you are also, that breath is working the vagus nerve in your body, which the nervous system has a lot of the Uranian quality. It's Aquarian.
Yes, the electricity.
And also the veins. So, you know, if you're looking into like, how can I also support my body? I mean, that's very important. That innervates like a lot of your organ systems and your body. And so if you're having symptoms, physical symptoms like high blood pressure or, you know, sleeplessness or, you know, anything like that, which can happen during these times of upheaval and yeah, change, then getting into that. And again, also the Bach flowers, which are vibratory. Mm-hmm. The one for Taurus is gentian, which is dealing with setback, or what you perceive as a setback. Okay, so that has been something that we have dealt with recently, very recently, you know, suddenly a variation in COVID. So, you know, these tools, you know, basic stuff that you don't need any help outside, go to people and speak to people that have a consciousness like Jim's, and, you know, use some of your energy tools, and breathing is one of them.
That's true. And I would add to that, something I would like to encourage people to do that I find has been huge for me. And that is to get out in nature, to get out in the trees, to touch trees, to feel the earth under your feet. I know that sounds kind of trite, but the reality of what that impacts is so profound. And especially if you were listening to what Shelley talked about, as with each of the retrograde experiences, that connecting to earth, connecting to the source of what keeps us alive, is what will help us to evolve more cleanly and more easily through all of these transitions.
And that's Taurus, nature.
Taurus, there it is.
So big and blaring. Feel the energy, get an energy going with nature. And nature is giving you intuitive messages also.
All the time. And it's extraordinary to see what you can experience when you're present in those moments. So when you're in nature, be fully present in what you're doing. Don't use the walk to think about your problem at work.
Right.
Use the walk to tune into you and to everything around you. That's where My World Is Good is powerful, because as you're there, you're in appreciation. My world is good. Look at that flower. My world is good. You think, gosh, that's silly. No, you're programming you are shifting your focus, you're shifting your energetic focus and beginning to touch into the natural world instead of the unnatural world that we've manufactured in our minds.
Mm-hmm. And
Shelley, we are out of time again. Okay. We talk ourselves so quickly through our hour. It's just amazing. I feel so grateful and so blessed to have you here because you bring so much wonderful information and clarity to these. And I so love getting able to see the dots connect and seeing the orchestration because you're so able to clearly to share that with us. So I thank you for that.
I'm glad to be here. I enjoy it as much as you do.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to the next time. And for all of you out there, thank you for being part of the show. We will see you on the other side. Thank you for being here. And again, with my buttons. There we go. We'll talk again very soon. Thanks, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescienceTransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.